This morning, I'm gonna move as I'm talking here. You are going to leave this place blessed in a very special way. We have an awesome treat for all of you this morning. With Mark being out of town, or on vacation at least, we wanted to take this moment, this opportunity, to really bless the congregation, and you're going to be blessed today. We have an international, nationally well-known speaker who our junior high students have heard at camp, and they're going to hear again this year. This guy speaks with passion. The way Jesus used him last night, this no one left here the same last night. It was truly a blessing to hear this man speak. His love for Christ is evident. How God uses his life and his testimony is a blessing to all of us. You are going to leave here a different person. And to welcome him, would you please give a huge hand to Chris Simning, our guest speaker for the weekend.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wait a minute, my thing. Oh, Bibles. Oh, yes. Yeah.
I forgot the Bibles again. When our lovely ushers come forward, it's time you guys can be seated. Thank you. Come forward and pass out Bibles. And as they're passing out Bibles, I'll turn over to you, Chris. Take it away,
all right,
brother.
Thank you. Hey, how are you guys? It's good to be here this morning. I've only lived in Arizona for a year and a half. I moved from California. You're probably sitting there thinking, why? Arizona is all beach. I discovered this. It's all beach. There's just no ocean. Actually, I only live about 2 miles from here, so to come here was a snap. It was easy. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I'm excited to be here this morning. Did you enjoy worship? Isn't that amazing? I love to worship here. It just takes you into the place of where God wants us to be. This morning I want to ask a question of us. And I wonder this. Are we in a groove? You know what a groove is? It's kind of like a rut. It's kind of like a path that we have made for ourselves in life. It gets matted down. You ever see a lawn that's just freshly mowed? That's one of my favorite smells. So fresh. And then as the week progresses, what happens? People tromp on the lawn. Kids ride their bikes across the lawn. People play football on the lawn. They play tag on the lawn. And what happens to the lawn? It gets matted down. It gets wetter. It gets worn. Sometimes I wonder if that's where we are this morning, in our souls. We're in a desert here. And sometimes I wonder if that's where your soul is this morning. Maybe you are in a groove, much like I have been. Because life is not easy, is it? We get challenges, we get tried, we get tested. And then there's a phrase up there on the screen that says, shaken, not stirred. I got that from a friend of mine. He told me that once. And I'm like, what are we, James Bond? He goes, no, shaken, not stirred. Chris, your life can be shaken. It can be shaken actually to its utmost core, but it doesn't have to stir you. Because of where your faith needs to be in Christ. And I love that. You guys have your Bibles this morning? Can you guys please turn to Psalm 23? One of the most popular Psalms ever written. Some of you know it verbatim. Psalm 23. I love this. You know why I love Psalm 23? Because it speaks about a journey. And it paints incredible word pictures of what we can see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. Psalm 23, it says this, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Okay, right there, I struggle with this chapter. Because I want. Give me that, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. I want that. I want it now. I want my Starbucks espresso latte right now. I want this, I want that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Isn't that an amazing picture? Green pastures, quiet, still waters. Then this valley of the shadow of death, that must be pretty scary, pretty horrific. Then it says you have prepared a table before me. Did we think about that this morning? I'm a child of light, and I have an invitation to dine with Christ at the Father's table. There's a hunger deep in me, and I'm longing to watch to be home. He prepares a table before us in the presence of enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Then we get to verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. You see that word surely? That word surely is affirmative. It's positive. That word surely attests to a faith, some sort of a confidence where you get to stand strong in your faith in the midst of the things that we go through. Isn't it easy to praise God when your life is happy, happy, joy, joy? So here's a picture of me in fifth grade. Do you know what that machine is on the table right there? Yeah. They don't make them anymore, do they? It's a typewriter. And kids in here are like, what? What's a typewriter? I was born with a condition called fine motor cerebral palsy. Nothing was wrong with me with the exception of this. I shook in my hands. And because I shook in my hands, my fine motor skills were not the greatest. So I couldn't even hold a pen or pencil to write with it. I mean, it would just freak out when I would put it to the page. It would dance everywhere, and I'm like, you are possessed or something. So I always had to rely on a typewriter to go through school. Remember pop quizzes? Yeah, surprise. You wouldn't know that would be coming. I had a teacher in school that would say, clear your desk, take out a blank sheet of paper, Chris, roll in a piece of paper in your typewriter machine. Turn the thing on. We're having a pop quiz. And her pop quizzes were this. She would read a statement about the subject we were studying. You would have to respond, is the statement true or is it false? You see where I'm going with this? True has how many letters? 4. False has how many? 5. My friends would not write a thing because they were listening to the tapping of keys on the typewriter. And every year I always got this comment, you have the best penmanship in the whole school. I didn't care that I had to type. I actually prided myself that I was the only one that could type. It was incredible. I played sports, not competitive sports, but just sports with friends. My life was great. My life was going places. And I loved being a boy, just growing up in life, playing adventures, journeys. And then I get to eighth grade. And I go to bed one night in eighth grade, and when I woke up the next morning, I could not hold up my head. And I got up that morning, and when I stood to my feet, my head fell forward. And I couldn't lift it up on my own strength, and I had to take a hand to pry it up underneath my chin to take it in place. I stepped wrong on it. It will go away. It never went away. We started going to doctors. One doctor wouldn't have an answer, referred to someone else. I was going to specialists, neurologists, medical tests, procedures in hospitals. And 2.5 months later, after that day I woke up, I was finally diagnosed with a rare muscle and nerve disease. And it's called torsional dystonia. And I've not met anyone with it today because it's just rare. And my life was crushed. Eighth grade student, you deal with self-esteem issues. Guys, you deal with puberty, your voice goes, you want to fit in? And here I am dealing with a new disability that would change the rest of my life. It would give me this huge lump on the back of my neck. The way that I walk today is a result of this. My voice that you hear this morning is a result from this. And going through school was just painful for me. Being ridiculed, teased, made fun of. My life was torn apart. And then you look at the Psalm 23 and you think of the life being a journey. And you get to the word surely in verse 6 of Psalm 23. And you may be asking yourself this morning, where does that word fit in my life today? My life has been through heartache. My life has been through pain. It just doesn't make sense that I would be in this place. And then we sang another song this morning that just resonated with me. About wondering about pain as you stare at the sky. You see dark clouds. You see them brewing. But you just can't feel the rain. And you're in a groove this morning. And maybe your life is just stuck. Can you guys flip open to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 3. I love this story because it's a story that is a miracle. It's a story about a transformation of a life from one place to the next. And I love what it says about glory and beauty and miraculous healing. And so, Lord, as we dive into this portion of Scripture this morning, would you please speak to our souls? We are children of light. We have this invitation to dine with you, Christ. At the Father's table, there's a hunger in us because we long for this place called home. But in the midst of the grooves of life that we may be in this morning, would you speak to us? Would you change us? Help us to hope. In your name I pray. Amen. Acts 3, verse 1. Says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter says this, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That's a beautiful picture, is it not? Can you imagine being this crippled man, for one, and being carried to this temple gate every day of your life? To do what you knew to do was to just beg for money. For you to sit on the actual steps of this temple, having people go by, and you begging for money. And it's pretty ironic that this gate where he was placed was called Beautiful. Because let's face it, he probably didn't think his life was that beautiful. I get a phone call the other night from one of my friend's little girl who is 3. And Ray goes, "She wants to talk to you." So I grab the phone. "Hey, Isabella, what's going on?" She goes, "Uncle Chris, what does the word glory mean?" And she's 3. And I'm like, "What? What does the word glory mean?" I'm driving home with mommy and she can't explain it. And I started laughing. And go, "Bella, I think glory just means beautiful." And she goes, "Oh, okay. Bye," click. And so here he was at this place called Beautiful. He was put there. He was put there to ask for something he knew. But God, what did God want to do? He wanted to do something more for his life. Something that he wasn't expecting, right? That's what God has done for my life. Here's a picture of me, a senior in high school. Get ready for my high school prom. From 8th grade to my senior year of high school, a few years after that, in fact, my life got worse every day. There wasn't a day where it improved. I sat in that wheelchair for 5 years. People had to dress me, bathe me, sometimes even feed me. I felt caged in. I didn't think my life was beautiful. I didn't think God could use this life. And the next picture will show a picture of my prom date. She's beautiful. I had pushers. Not drug pushers, but pushers that would push me from one class in high school to the next. As he pushed me from 5th class to 6th class for a year. One day she's pushing me and she asks, "Hey, I have a question for you. Will you go to prom with me?" And I'm thinking, "Angie, you're beautiful. Why'd you go ask a football player?" She goes, "No, because I'm asking you." And I told her, "Are you kidding? How are we going to do this prom thing? I've already talked about it with my best friend." You know when girls get together? "And my best friend, her boyfriend, he's going to take care of you. He'll help you." So I went to the prom. Angie took me on the dance floor in my wheelchair. We did 360s. We did wheelies. She walked me back and forth. She didn't care. And then this next picture is special as well. A picture of me and Bill Cosby. That's my mom. That is not a pink sweater, okay? It's salmon. Bill Cosby heard about my condition. He wanted to see me. He wanted me to just encourage me. And he was a brilliant man. Right there is that picture my mom and stepfather were expecting me to die. And my mom was already starting to have music that she would set aside for my memorial service. Things were just getting worse. And then I think of Acts 3. I think of how Peter and John came by this crippled beggar on the temple courts. He was begging for money. Peter and John, they're not rich, right? They're in full-time ministry. They're poor. I can just see them saying, "Scoot over! Money! Scoot over!" But Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them, right? And then that's when Peter said, "Silver and gold we don't have, we're poor, but what we have we give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And what happened to this man? Not only did he get up and walk, he leaped, he jumped, he praised God. He was a different man. He was expecting something here, but God was doing something more over here. And so many times, I'm here because I want this. That looks good to me. To me, that's beautiful. But maybe God is wanting to do something over there, but I'm so mindsetted here that I can't see it. You ever heard the phrase, "The grass is always greener on someone else's lawn"? You know what a friend told me once? "Why don't you water your own lawn?" And I wanted to hit him. But he was right. Because why don't you worry about watering your own lawn? And let God be God. You can be shaken, but you do not have to be stirred. Get out of that groove. You don't have to be stuck. What are you expecting? You're sitting over here. You're like that crippled beggar. You're asking for something that you know. But maybe you don't have the trust and the hope and the expectation of waiting that maybe he wants to do something much more far greater over there. And all you see in your life right now is darkened clouds. And you can't feel the rain. That's me today. I got out of the wheelchair, but I still struggle with what God is wanting for my life. It's amazing to me that he wanted me to be a speaker. I've been doing this for 8 years. I feel like Moses in the Bible. He's told God, "You send someone else to do it. I can't speak." When you think of a speaker, you don't think of me, do you? Come on, admit it. I don't wear the bling bling. I don't have shiny jewelry. I don't drive nice cars. Well, actually, I kind of do. But my voice isn't even the greatest. God still wants to use. Last verse, or piece of scripture this morning, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. Look at the last portion of verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, that's pretty freaky, and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Second, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And thirdly, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what happened? Came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, once again, by the way, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so many times I think we look for the glamour, the hype, and the glitz. We want the wind, the fire, the earthquake. But God wants to speak to us in a gentle whisper of our soul. But are you missing it? Because you're over here expecting something else. But God's over here saying, you know what? This is far greater. And because you're over here, you're in the midst of a groove. And you're stuck. Last two pictures this morning. That's me at Wheelchair Olympics. Have you ever been in a motorized wheelchair? They're a blast. They're so fun. And lastly, a swim meet. Got involved in swimming for 2.5 years just to be with other disabled people. And lo and behold, swimming was a tool that the Lord used to help me strengthen up and walk today. I'm driving the car. Stay off the road. You'll be okay. I live on my own by myself in Arizona away from family. They're in North Carolina. They moved from California too. And here I am. And if God can get me out of a wheelchair and I still struggle with the things in my life, it's okay for you to struggle too. But God is wanting to do something more in your life, perhaps this morning. But all you see, perhaps today, is the darkened clouds. And you can't feel the rain. But you are a child of light. And you have this invitation to dine with Christ at the Father's table. There's a hunger that needs to happen deep inside of you because He's calling you to come home. So will you hope in the midst of those darkened skies? Will you wait? Will you trust? It's hard. It's not easy. Surely. Goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. Because you get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this life that you are on today is a continuum of a journey that God is taking you through. Your life is glory. Your life is beautiful. You maybe just have to wait for it. You have to hope for it. You have to trust that He knows what He is doing. But surely, it will then fit in this chapter of your life that you're going through. So Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you have given us an invitation to dine and rejoice. And Lord, I ask that you would be with our journeys this morning. And Lord, we will look for the wind, the fire, the earthquake. But Lord, we would seek a gentle whisper. God, you want to use us. Because surely, goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life. Because we get to dwell in your house with you. Help us to have that hunger deep inside of us. And help us to long for your home. Because you do make our lives beautiful. That's why that crippled beggar was sitting at a gate called just that. In your name I pray. Amen.